Good afternoon, everybody. It is a great honour this afternoon to be able to welcome here Dr. Jinping Wang, who, as you know, is President or Speaker of the Legislative Yuan of the Republic of China. And he has been in that post since 1999. For those of you who are following it on the earphones, I should first of all tell you 中文是在A台, English is on the C channel. As I said, Dr. Wang has been president of the Legislative Yuan since 1999. Before that, he served as a vice president, or deputy speaker, from 1993 until 1999. But of course, he has a tremendous experience in government before that, having been a legislator since 1975. As many of you will know, this has been a tremendous time of change on Taiwan, and Dr. Wang has been able to witness most of that, the gradual transition to a democracy. In fact, while he's been president of the Legislative Yuan, Taiwan has undergone not just one, but two actual transitions of its ruling party. First, with the tremendous changes from the Kuomintang when it became the opposition party, and then again, most recently, in 2008, when the Kuomintang regained power on Taiwan. So he's personally been involved with witnessing those deep changes, momentous changes that have consolidated Taiwan's democracy. Personally, he's played a role in the legislative process, which has introduced many of the laws which have contributed to Taiwan's national development, the Taiwan province and county autonomy law, for example. He was also involved with the national health insurance law, and in fact, many, many others, including laws related to recall and also laws relating to elections for president and vice president. I think more generally, when we look at democratic transitions, one of the very important institutions that plays a role in facilitating that transition and also in terms of consolidating that transition is the legislature. And I think we're very lucky today to be able to have here to speak with us President Wang, who will talk about the question of the critical power in Taiwan and the role of the Legislative Yuan in national development. So it is my great pleasure, and please join me in welcoming Dr. Wang to speak with us today.
Director Sage of the Ash Center for Democratic Governance and Innovation, Dr. Julian Zhang, Executive Director of the Rajawali Foundation Institute for Asia, Dr. Elliot of Fairbanks Center, Dr. Ross of Boston College, professor and researchers, members of the press, ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon. It is an honor and a pleasure to address Harvard's internationally renowned John F. Kennedy School of Government, which has produced countless distinguished scholars since its establishment. Today, I'll be sharing with you Taiwan's achievements in democratic development. I want to thank the Kennedy School for providing this opportunity and all the distinguished guests for coming today. Throughout history, the driving force behind the development of both the material and spiritual aspects of human civilization has been the pursuit of prosperity and progress. In order to improve their living standards, human beings have sought to improve every aspect of their lives, including their political, economic, social, educational, and cultural systems. However, due to geographical and historical differences, human civilization has taken many paths based on the varieties of time and place. At one point in time, the human civilizations of different regions began to inspire one another with a variety of responses, including conflict, exchange, interaction, or cooperation. Interaction has produced a rich, diversified range of results. I believe that the most significant development in a spiritual development of human civilization is the respect for democracy, freedom, and human rights. Although countries have diverse values and political systems, these values have gained greater acceptance throughout the world. Humans have advanced from simply pursuing a full stomach to promoting human dignity and honorable ideals. In the midst of the spread of democracy, freedom, and human rights, the Republic of China became the first democracy in the ethnic Chinese world, as well as the first democratic republic in East Asia. Embracing both the social values of the East and the democratic values of the West, the ROC will celebrate its centennial this year. My country has brought about an economic miracle and democratic achievements that have caught the attention of the entire world. Over the last century, Taiwan has undergone a number of struggles and transformations. The primary driving force behind Taiwan's development and promotion of democracy, economic development, freedom, and human rights is Taiwan's Congress, the Legislative Yuan. Over the past century, the Republic of China has encountered numerous challenges, including internal strife and external aggression. And the government has endeavored to realize the ideas and aims of constitutional democracy as prescribed by Dr. Sun Yat-sen. After the KMT relocated the central government to Taiwan in 1949. Since the 1950s, my country promoted self-governance by holding local elections. Taiwan produced an economic miracle in the 1970s that received world acclamation. In 1972, Taiwan held its first election to expand the Legislative Yuan, and in July of 1987, martial law was lifted. In September of the same year, the first opposition party, the Democratic Progressive Party, DPP, was founded, reflecting the vitality and passion of Taiwan's pluralistic society. In order to deepen democratization, Taiwan held its first direct and comprehensive legislative election in 1992. Through this democratic process, a large number of DPP members were elected to the Legislative Yuan, forming a counterbalance to the ruling KMT party. This election remains one of the most significant milestones in Taiwan's pursuit of pluralistic democracy. Elections allow citizens to experience democracy by choosing their choice of leaders. The role of the Legislative Yuan is to give the people a voice in government policy. Election of 1992 fulfilled the role of the Legislative Yuan and laid a solid foundation for Taiwan's democratic development. During the process of democratization, a wide array of difficulties and challenges had to be overcome. However, both the ruling and opposition parties faced these obstacles rationally in order to realize the goal of democracy as smoothly as possible. Professor Samuel Huntington postulated that in order for a country's democratic conditions to be consolidated, power needs to change hands twice through peaceful elections. Compared to some of the other emerging democracies that have experienced bloodshed and major setbacks along the path of democratization, we have been fortunate, and the people of Taiwan take pride in their democratic achievements. The legislative elections of 1992 paved the way for Taiwan to hold a direct presidential election of 1996 and experienced its first change in power in 2000, as well as its second one in 2008, all of which took place peacefully. Thus, Taiwan can now be considered a consolidated democracy. Throughout our democratization, the United States has been a role model, exerting a profound influence on our democratic evolution. Many Taiwanese have received higher education in the United States. After graduating, many have returned to Taiwan to work or teach, bringing with them not only strong academic credentials, but also American culture, social norms, and democratic ideals. It was natural for them to convey the democratic values and political philosophy of the United States back in Taiwan. They have helped and continue to help foster cultural relations between our two countries. Likewise, they have had a strong impact on Taiwan's younger generations. In this way, democracy has taken root and has borne fruit in Taiwan. With a newly formed identity, the younger generations of Taiwan have not only put these ideals into practice, they have also helped consolidate them. This development serves as concrete proof that the U.S.-Taiwan shared the values of freedom and democracy. The Legislative Yuan not only has earned a place in the history of Taiwan's democratization, but also has played a role in the restructuring and stabilization of Taiwan's economic development and relations with mainland China. For example, the financial crisis of September 2008 had a negative impact on the entire world, and Taiwan was no exception. Accordingly, the Legislative Yuan rendered the government's staunch support to help the people of Taiwan weather the storm. The legislators made their best efforts to boost Taiwan's economy and stabilize the job market. In addition, the Legislative Yuan formulated, amended, and passed legislations aimed at ensuring the welfare of the people, such as the statute for industrial innovation, the special statute for distributing consultation vouchers. These measures empowered the government to take even stronger measures to stimulate Taiwan's economy. As for cross-strait relations, the Legislative Yuan has fulfilled its obligation to oversee the government, conducting rounds of deliberations on the accords signed with mainland China, such as the Economic Cooperation Framework Agreement, ECFA, of August 2010. The ECFA is a milestone in the economic and trade cooperation between Taiwan and mainland China. I'm delighted to see the joint statement between the United States and mainland China issued after the talks between President Obama and Secretary General Hu Jintao on January 19. In a joint statement, President Obama expressed the U.S. applauded the ECFA between the two sides of the Taiwan Strait. The U.S. supports the peaceful development of relations across the Taiwan Strait and looks forward to efforts by both sides to increase dialogues and interactions in economic, political, and other fields, and to develop more positive, stable cross-strait relations. This statement testifies that the ECFA passed Taiwan's Legislative Yuan is in line with the shared interests of both sides of Taiwan Strait. It also makes concrete contributions to the development of long-term interaction among the United States, mainland China, and Taiwan. The Legislative Yuan serves as a channel for the people to express their opinion as well as an overseer of government policy. Therefore, the Legislative Yuan can use its influence to make the implementation of government policy more efficient. The Legislative Yuan, along with the trust and power of the people of Taiwan, has shown support for the government's accord signed with mainland China and has instructed the government to carry out various economic and trade cooperation projects. For example, the sixth round of negotiations with mainland China, held in December 2010, focused on health, medicine, and investment protection. All of these issues are of great concern to the people of Taiwan. Cross-strait accords cannot be completed exclusively by the executive branch. They also require the legislature to gain an understanding of and respect for public opinion. In so doing, the Legislative Yuan can better implement government policies and cross-strait regulations, as well as complete the deliberations. From this example, one can see that the Legislative Yuan and the people are like two sides of a coin. On one hand, the Legislative Yuan echoes public opinion. On the other hand, it safeguards the rights of people and protects their interests by watching over the government. In another example from 2008, I met ARATS Chairman Chen Yunlin. During our meeting, I explicitly expressed our hope that Beijing would dismantle its missiles targeting Taiwan and stop hampering Taiwan's participation in the international community. As the president of the Legislative Yuan and an upholder of public opinion, I'm confident that these two aspirations are shared by all the people of Taiwan. Only if mainland China stands goodwill with respect to these two concerns, can the people of Taiwan look at cross-strait cooperation and reciprocity in a positive light. This illustrates that as the ultimate protector of democracy, the Legislative Yuan needs to fulfill its responsibilities and spare no effort to safeguard Taiwan's security and democracy. In its pursuit of democracy, the Republic of China, Taiwan, strives to strike a balance between domestic issues, cross-strait relations, and external relations. Decisions must be based on the goal of promoting the welfare of the people, social stability, and national security. Taiwan's political and economic stability and development have attracted a great amount of attention from the rest of the world and have had an important impact on Taiwan's foreign and cross-strait relations. One example of this was when the ARATS chairman, Ms. Chen Yunlin, visited Taiwan and signed various accords with the Straits Exchange Foundation chairman, Mr. Jiang Bingkun. The flexible democracy policy adopted by the current administration is widely recognized and supported by our friends and allies. I believe that only through democracy can we ensure peace, and only through cooperation can we ensure prosperity. In this way, we can realize the universal value of promoting peace through democracy, thereby maintaining the security and stability of East Asia, and reaching a balance between Taiwan's foreign relations and cross-strait relations. This is the core rationale of both the ruling and opposition parties behind their efforts to safeguard democracy in Taiwan. In terms of cross-strait relations, at this stage, our government is stressing the principle of economic and trade issues first, and political issues later. Although we might not see substantial progress made with respect to cross-strait political issues in the short run, we do expect that the AFA signed last year will enable the two sides to enjoy a larger degree of economic cooperation and growth. Although only time will tell the actual effectiveness and impact of the AFA, Taiwan will continue to create an environment that fosters economic development and interaction with mainland China. I believe that the recent increase in cross-strait interaction will help improve cross-strait relations, stabilize East Asia, and meet the international community's expectations of Taiwan. Although cross-strait relations have become more constructive and positive in recent years, our two government systems differ to a great extent, and we must focus on finding common ground and shelving disparities. By so doing, the peoples of both sides will benefit, and we can preserve Taiwan's hard-earned democracy and way of life. In terms of foreign relations, although Taiwan continues to expand its economic ties with mainland China, we attach great importance to the cordial relations we enjoy with other countries, which are important in maintaining peace and stability in East Asia. As for Taiwan-U.S. relations, as an example, the following three events show the importance Taiwan attaches to its relations with the United States. First, at the invitation of the Heritage Foundation in 2008, I delivered a speech entitled New Beginnings in a Strong Alliance. I hope that Taiwan and the United States, based on the long-standing and solid foundations of our relations, will be able to continue deepening our mutual trust and friendship. For our part, Taiwan still needs to purchase arms to maintain its self-defense capabilities. Second, the Legislative Yuan has actively promoted congressional diplomacy over the years, and has enjoyed cordial and close relations with both the U.S. Senate and House. The Taiwan-U.S. Parliamentary Friendship Group of the Legislative Yuan and the Taiwan Caucus, consisting of members from both houses of the U.S. Congress, provide strong support and assistance to bills and policies closely linked to the interests of our two peoples. Third, Taiwan also very much desires to resume the Trade and Investment Framework Agreement talks, TIFA, with the United States, so as to create favorable conditions for long-term and mutually beneficial trade cooperation. Although Taiwan lacks formal diplomatic ties with most countries, it maintains and is further developing cultural, economic, trade, and cultural relations with many members of the international community, including the United States, Japan, and EU countries, as well as Singapore, Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. Indeed, Taiwan's interactions with countries around the world are no longer centered purely on democratic values and ideas, but have gradually expanded to also include cultural, educational, and social exchanges. This is one of the benefits of universal values of democracy. The effort that Taiwan has put into promoting its foreign relations is evident in the EU's recent decision to grant Taiwan passport holders Schengen visa waiver treatment. This wonderful achievement also goes to show that by building constructive bilateral and multilateral relations based on democratic values, Taiwan has won not only friendship and recognition, but more importantly, the international community's support and goodwill. This is tremendously encouraging for the people of Taiwan and has firmly reinforced our belief in democracy. Looking back at the past and forward to the future, I want to stress that the people of Taiwan, as is true with people in the West, uphold freedom, equality, and human rights. Indeed, we share many values and ideals, be they economic, cultural, or social. Based on our belief in democratic values and institutions, Taiwan has been able to conduct legislative reforms and elections to give people the right to deliberate on issues and participate in democracy and to gradually replace confrontation with communication and cooperation. Although there has naturally been a fair amount of friction along the way, most issues have been resolved satisfactorily. On the whole, I think it is imperative that Taiwan continue consolidating its democratic development. In the past, the Legislative Yuan has made every effort to be the driving force behind Taiwan's development, and it must continue to do so in the future. It will formulate policies according to public opinion and will provide oversight of government policies in order to protect the people's interests. In addition, just as Dr. Joseph Nai, the former dean of the Catholic school, first proposed, Taiwan also needs to bring both its soft power as well as its smart power into play when dealing with political, economic, cross-strait, and foreign relations. I believe that it is in the people of Taiwan's best interest for us to continue deepening democracy, to continue pushing for economic growth, and to find the right balance between cross-strait and foreign relations. Based on these three core interests, I would like to share with you the following three ideas and to take this opportunity to tap into your collective wisdom. First, the true value of democracy in Taiwan is that a wide variety of opinions are represented. Since Taiwan ended martial law in 1987, it has successfully transformed into a democratic society and experienced two peaceful transfers of political power in 2000 and again in 2008. I believe that the true significance of this transfer of power is not whether one particular party succeeded or failed. Rather, it is that the people are telling the ruling party through the elections whether or not its policies have met with their expectations, and therefore whether or not it can remain in power. Indeed, it is the people who are the true winners. They are the ones who yield real power when it comes to passing judgment on a government's performance. Democracy reflects a wide variety of different and opposing views. The opposition party in particular is a major provider of the checks and balances needed to oversee government policies. In terms of cross-strait relations, the opposition party has a number of different means by which it can express its doubts and opinions. Even though the opposition does not currently hold the majority in the legislative yuan, we still need to listen to what they have to say. This is very much what democracy in Taiwanese society is all about. In terms of our relations with the United States and with mainland China, it is only natural that the ruling party will have different views to those of the opposition party. As president of the legislative yuan, I firmly believe that it is in Taiwan's best interest for us to develop relations with both the U.S. and mainland China. Second, Taiwan hopes that its allies, the U.S. included, and mainland China, will all show goodwill and offer assistance when it comes to our efforts to join international organizations. After all, it was thanks to the assistance of our allies that Taiwan was eventually able to participate in the WHA as an observer. Similarly, Taiwan will continue to make every effort to join International Civil Aviation Organization, ICAO, and the UNFCCC. It's only through participating in such specialized international organizations that Taiwan can have any hope of effectively safeguarding the welfare and security of its people and obtain the opportunity to fulfill its international obligations and responsibilities. I'd like to stress that Taiwan's participation in specialized international organizations will not have a negative effect on cross-strait relations or on the interests of other nations. For example, Taiwan's positive and pragmatic approach to its participation as an observer in the WHA has been well received by many countries. Indeed, Taiwan's involvement in the WHA has in no way created tensions with mainland China or with our foreign relations in general. What it has done instead is enable us to make significant contributions to the global effort towards public health and disease prevention. This clearly demonstrates that when both sides of Taiwan Strait shelve their differences on the sovereignty issue and engage in pragmatic exchanges, and when Taiwan participates meaningfully in the international community, it is conducive to Taiwan's continued development. It is only by creating conditions favorable for long-term cooperation that both sides can gradually accumulate a positive impression of each other, which will in turn lay the foundations on which to reach a common understanding, face the challenges of the future. Third, if Taiwan is to serve as a cornerstone of security and stability in East Asia, not only must its economic development continue, but it must also have the military means to defend itself. Since 2010, Taiwan has faced an economic landscape that is very different now. The ASEAN countries have pressed ahead with their integration. And of course, mainland China's rapid rise has also brought with it all sorts of changes. We know that the only way we can overcome the challenges in this situation is to maintain close cooperative exchanges with our allies and other friendly countries. We also know that in terms of our national defense, Taiwan must maintain appropriate and sufficient military capabilities. It's certainly also in Taiwan's best interest to develop closer economic and trade relations with its allies, the U.S. included, as well as with mainland China. These conditions are necessary if Taiwan's political and economic development is to continue down the right path, and if Taiwan is to act as the cornerstone of security and stability in East Asia. In a 1981 issue of Foreign Affairs magazine, Senator Jacob K. Javis wrote an article pointing out that the Taiwan Relations Act is a special case for the U.S. The passage of this law reflects the close and strong alliance that exists between Taiwan and the U.S. And each successive president, both Republican and Democrats, has abided by the TRA and the various commitments to Taiwan contained therein. In fact, no single issue has ever seriously affected the solid alliance and friendship that the U.S. and Taiwan enjoy. As everyone here is no doubt aware, mainland China conducted the first test flight of its new J-20 stealth fighter on January 11th of this year, coinciding with a visit by U.S. Secretary of Defense Robert Gates. Mainland China has also just confirmed that it has developed other advanced forms of weaponry, such as anti-ship ballistic missiles. It is evident from a number of military intelligence sources that mainland China has already become preeminent in East Asia in terms of military research and development as well as military technology. These latest developments have opened the world's eye to a new reality and have raised serious questions not only in East Asia but all around the globe. Mainland China's massive military spending in recent years has allowed it to rapidly build up and modernize its military. The primary and biggest impact is the severe military imbalance this creates between two sides of Taiwan Strait. It is very clear now that Taiwan does not have their supremacy, air supremacy across the Taiwan Strait. I therefore urge the United States to acknowledge the rapid changes that are taking place in the region and to continue providing adequate and sufficient defensive weaponry to Taiwan, such as the F-16CD or other more advanced fighter jets. There is a pressing need to stabilize the growing military imbalance across the Taiwan Strait. In terms of Taiwan-U.S. economic trade relations, I hope to see substantial progress made this year on the resumption of the TIFA talks, as well as on Taiwan's meaningful participation in specialized international organizations and inclusion in the U.S. visa waiver program. The people of Taiwan very much want to see the United States continue to give them its staunch support. I believe that if Taiwan is to serve as an anchor of security and stability in East Asia, its economy must continue to develop and must have the means to defend itself. This is also the best way to ensure that Taiwan-U.S. relations will flourish. Before I conclude today's remarks, I want to quote Dr. Thomas Christensen, former Deputy Assistant Secretary for East Asian Pacific Affairs and Professor of Politics at Princeton University, from an address he made on September 11, 2007 at the U.S.-Taiwan Defense Industry Conference, where he elaborated on the importance of Taiwan's development for stability in East Asia. He said, and I quote, "A successful Taiwan is a beacon for East Asia and beyond." He also said, and again I quote, "The United States has an abiding interest in a stable and peaceful relationship across the Taiwan Strait in which Taiwan thrives." We can see that the continuing improvements in cross-strait relations as well as cordial interactions with its allies will not only give Taiwan a broader international perspective, but will also provide Taiwan with the opportunity to fulfill its responsibilities as a member of the international community. Furthermore, Taiwan's successful political and economic development will not only serve as a beacon for newly industrialized countries in East Asia, but will allow it to be the cornerstone of security and stability in the region. In his New Year's message this year, President Ma Ying-jeou stated that democracy is Taiwan's strength. I couldn't agree more. And I trust that, based on the existing foundations of political development, the Legislative Yuan will continue to be the driving force beyond the deepening of democracy in Taiwan, as well as the development of the economy, foreign and cross-strait relations. This is what the people of Taiwan aspire to, and this is what we are doing our utmost to achieve. I also hope that the international community will continue to give Taiwan support and assistance so that we can fulfill our obligations as a responsible and democratic member of the international community and make even great contributions to the future of mankind. In closing, I want to once again thank the John F. Kennedy School of Government for inviting me. I wish prosperity for the U.S. and continued growth for Taiwan-U.S. relations. I also wish all distinguished guests, senior academics, and members of press corps the best of health and every success. Thank you.